Little Lori Lyon in the background here. The little drummer boy, 23 degrees. Good morning to Jason Cairns.
Good morning.
It is a week before Christmas.
It is. It's coming right up. Tessa reminds me every day, I think, that it's coming. So,
what's she excited about this year?
I don't know. She gets excited, I think, about Christmas, but then I think, has a hard time naming it. I think probably gifts. Being off of school is for sure a huge benefit to her. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to tell a joke here this morning. It was a funny scenario. I was with some friends watching the Packer game because it wasn't on Fox. It was on CBS, and I didn't want to get another six. I didn't even know if it was on Paramount to get it yesterday. So I'm with the friends. I'm watching. We talk about, you know, Christmas music, and they say, oh, family. I like this Family Force 5 song, and somehow that got us onto Christian punk bands. And so it's I'm there with my friend, his wife, and his mom. And so all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, the group One Bad Pig. And I'm like, I've never heard of them.
Sure. They have an album called Swine Flu.
What? Yeah. Okay. Are you serious?
I am, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, you know that. Then there's another Christian punk band, did you know of, Undercover?
I don't know them, no.
And then his mom, amidst the conversation, his mom just says, do you like Lefsa? And I'm like, is that a Christian punk band? So... Yeah.
Yes, from northern Minnesota.
And apparently their opening act is Ludafisk. So.
Yes, that's exactly right. That'd be a good name for a band.
Okay, so that brings me to another thing I'm thinking about this morning, and that is just the battle of the bulge. I think we all face it in terms of weight loss, weight gain. We applaud Caleb. He's been on the Livia plan more than 43 pounds lost, which is 1.2 more than Sebastian Gorka. Not that we're competitive, but it is. I went to the Y and saw, like, it was heading in the wrong direction for me. And I'm like, I had to acknowledge, like, yeah, I like, you know, I've said yes to too much to sugar and muffins and bread. Can you hear me here? Hello, are you still there? Wow, did we lose him? Jason is totally gone. And I got to understand that when I don't think I knocked him off the air with that commentary, but hopefully he calls me back. Because when I called, it went directly to his voicemail. And so he was able to call me. Huh. All right. Well, it's just not the same with that the second brother from another mother here during best 5 minutes of the day. Does he realize he's not with me? He probably does. But now... who knows? We're going to just continue on. Anyhow, so that's what I'm talking about, the battle of the waistline. And so just some of those subtle ways, you know, that you say yes, and then you do kind of get the honesty of the scale. And I think maybe some of the pounds that Caleb has lost, I've somehow, you know, have latched on to me here. So anyhow, and it's a hard time of the year for that, right? Because you get the cookies. And I mean, I was even conscious where I go to church. Valley Brook in downtown Eau Claire, they have what's called the 410, anyhow, history behind that, but anyhow, and that's where there's coffee and there's a lot of treats out there, like, and they usually half a muffin or this, that, or the other thing. But yesterday, there was a fundraiser for people for missions, and it was a whole line of table. I mean, it was like, you name it, all there. It was extra challenge, so anyhow, feeling it for all of us as we try to battle that these times. All right. Well, we have December 18th today, and the verses today, I can look them up here quickly on Bible Gateway, I guess, is Luke chapter 2, verses 17 through 20. I keep looking to see if Jason's going to call us back, but I got a hunch. You know, his phone kind of is quirky. He's talking about replacing it, and hopefully we'll get that straightened away for the new year. But here we go, Luke 2, 17 through 20 from NIV. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And in Jason's devotional commentary, which we still do have with us from Letters to the Beloved, he writes this about those four verses. The shepherds visited with Mary, Joseph, and the others gathered there telling them about what they had seen and heard in the fields. Hearing the shepherd's words, everyone had questions about what was happening. Mary savored every word. She already saw Jesus' impact, and it filled her with joy. That's a sentence worth underlining. When the shepherds went back to their flocks, they kept talking with one another about all they had witnessed and offered me praise. Yeah, kind of thinking from God's perspective. The second paragraph, he says, there have been more words written and said about my son than any other single person or topic in all of history. His name is to be exalted above every other name. As you sing Christmas hymns, remember that your voice joins with the angels, the shepherds, and the new parents, Mary and Joseph. Your voice is a part of history's chorus that offers praise to the King of Kings. Good stuff this morning from Luke 2, 17 through 20, the NIV scripture and Jason's devotional commentary, Letters to the Beloved. We got Drew on the line, the stand-up comic pastor from the Renaissance Vineyard Church in Detroit. Drew Fralick, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Mark?
So you were pretty pumped about a national championship. Fill me in on this from over the weekend.
Yeah, so I'm an alumni of Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. I guarantee there is somebody listening right now who is also a Harding alumni. And we're in Division II. Division II football.
Okay.
And over the weekend, Harding won the national championship.
So congratulations.
We're thrilled, you know. And it's just been a lot of fun. The thing is when I was there, so I was there, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
We were also good then. I don't think we ever won the national championship, but we were really good. And I was roommates and best friends with the place kicker.
Okay.
So you can imagine what that would, like, think about kickers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much pressure on them. They have the game in their hands.
Yeah.
You know, think about when a kicker makes, it's almost like they're like a separate team unto themselves.
They have the game in
football
their
players.
Foot. They have the game in their foot more than their hands, don't they?
There you go.
Yeah.
We'll add that one to the pile. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, so I was best friends with him, and we had some exciting games. You know, he kicked a few. When I was there, he kicked a game-winning field goal against the number one ranked team in the nation, Valdosta State. Shout out. And that was great, you know. But basically, being best friends with the kicker, it was kind of like being the disciple Peter, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's like when things were going well, I would tell everyone. I'm like, hey, we'd just be talking. Hey, you know, the kicker is my best friend. Did you know that? Hey, did you see that game-winning field goal? That's my best friend right there, right? But then there were times when he would lose the game. And then it was like things were going bad, and people would be like, hey, aren't you best friends with the kicker? And I'd be like, woman, I don't know the man.
I don't know the kicker.
I don't know him. I never met the guy. They're like, surely you live in the dorm with him. I'm like, I've never met the man. So it was a lot of fun, and sometimes I, you know, hid my face from him.
That is funny. Hey,
but
I did not know you went to college. And the things we learn, you know, day by day.
College, yes. I went to a Christian college down in Arkansas, and I'm so excited. So if you're a Harding alumni, I guarantee you're out there. Mark's got open lines. He's excited to take your call.
Yeah, right.
Let's party.
You know what? Hey, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and yours, because I'll give you a break. Next Monday is Christmas Day. The week after is New Year's Day. I will not call you until January 8th, okay?
Wow. Okay. I get a nice little break
you
here.
Do.
This will be great.
We expect
happy holidays, Mark.
We expect some really good material January 8th, though. So.
I'm working on it.
All right. Very good. Weekend recap, Halvo and Caleb, the WIB Wake Up Show on a Make Us Laugh Monday, a windy Monday at that, a week before Christmas. And I guess I go back to Friday night, enjoyed some time with my wife, and we went back and watched an episode of Monk, and then I'm like, do you want to watch something else? So the first half of Tom Hanks' movie, A Man Called Otto.
I've heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tom Hanks, but I haven't seen it. What do you think of the first half?
First half, yeah. He starts off as a really grouchy, kind of depressed guy who's heading into kind of a forced retirement. And, yeah, I mean, and so then you see kind of humanity, him being humanized some by neighbors. And so
sure.
It's, yeah, I liked it. But hopefully the second half is too. Breakfast at Randy's on Saturday is the usual staple amongst friends. And then tip the scale. I got to think, you're down last I heard, and you weigh in again today, right?
Yes.
Last I heard through your program with Livia the last few months, you're down like over 43 pounds. I think some of those I've absorbed because I tipped the scale.
You found them?
I think I found them. I was up 6.5 pounds from the last time I hit the scale at the Y about a month ago. So that was not good. But nonetheless, so that made me more sensitive the rest. Because, you know, and this is the time of the year. It's really tough, right? So many pastries and cookies and all that kind of stuff. But and then a terrific time at church yesterday. A drama and a message and the music. So kind of a weekend. Yeah, the Packers lost too.
Yeah. So I was telling you off the air, I didn't actually watch the Packers game. I saw highlights later on, but maybe I'm better off not having that consternation.
Yeah.
But my weekend going back to Friday night, called a McDonald boys basketball game against Bloomer. Very competitive game. Bloomer came out the victor on that one. Then matinee basketball Saturday afternoon, McDonald girls against Onalaska. So McDonald girls won that one. Two very entertaining basketball games. There's also things that need to be done for Christmas. And so Friday night, realize, got to get those peanut butter balls done. So you don't dip them on the same night that you make them. You make them and form them and then chill them. So that was a pretty late night, I guess technically early morning. 279 is the count on those peanut butter balls.
That's
this
a lot.
Year because, again, they need to go a lot of different places. And so, yeah, then Teddy's birthday was yesterday. We're doing more of the celebrating tonight when Lily's back, but enjoyed some time at church and at my parents' house and celebrating our one-year-old, too, and just thinking about everything that, he was through in his first week and a half of life and just so grateful for him and for his good health. And then last night, late last night, that was the dipping of the peanut butter balls. And again, I mentioned 279. It takes a while.
Yeah.
But I have to shout out my 8-year-old, Cooper, because he stayed up and stayed up and stayed up and would not quit till we had finished. He
Way
helped
to go.
Me. And I kind of asked him multiple times as, again, it's late when because there's shopping and other things to do. And I asked him multiple times. I'm like, buddy, are you tired? He would not say he was tired. I could tell he was tired. But he was like, Dad, it's easier when you have help. And so
that's great.
Choked up with
yeah.
It, just.
I love the bond you guys have.
And so, again, the way he stuck it out, stuck with me, I hope he's still sleeping at this point this morning. But, 279 peanut butter balls dipped together.
Fantastic.
So thank you to my little boy. Where are you headed for Christmas? Tell us, and we might just be helping you pay for the gas to get there now through the 21st. So again, that's coming up this week. Just call the WWIB listener line. Hopefully that's in your phone, but that number is 715-396-1670. Introduce yourself and leave a voicemail telling us where you are driving for Christmas and who you can't wait to see. 5 randomly selected callers will win a $100 gift card from Quick Trip, courtesy of WWIB and our friends at Marquardt Motors Certified Service. It's just that easy. For instance, here's an example. Let's play one here. This is from Amanda.
Hi. I am going to see my parents and hoping for the holidays. I can't wait to see them for Christmas. I hope you have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
From Marquardt Motors Certified Service.
And how about that, Amanda? Just that simple, just that easy. You left your voicemail and you were randomly selected to win one of those $100 Quick Trip gift cards. We're going to be getting a hold of you shortly, Amanda, to let you pick up your $100 Quick Trip gift card courtesy of WWIB and Marquardt Motors Certified Service. It is just that easy.
Well, Caleb, instead of 6 groaner dad jokes from you and I today, we thought heading into the holidays, we'd give people a treat. We're both big fans of Tim Hawkins. He's got some Christmas comedy. Let's give it a listen.
But Christmas is kind of bittersweet for me because when I was a kid, my first time performing, I was 6 years old. And I was performing in our Christmas pageant at church. And I had one line in one song. It was the song, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" And I messed it up. I sang, a child, sleeping in the night, with a tail as big as a kite. That's not the way that song goes, ladies and gentlemen. People get mad when you sing about baby Jesus with a tail. But think about that song. Do you hear what I hear? It's psycho. Who wrote that?
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy.
I think the shepherd boy's been in the field a little too long, don't you? Talking to the sheep. Really? Oh, we got to tell the mighty king. It's worse, they go to the mighty king, you know.
A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold.
How about a blanket? How about some soup? Child shivered in the cold.
Throw some gold on him, he'll be fine.
He's got pneumonia, but he's loaded. That kid is going to be some.
Letting the pros handle it. Tim Hawkins on a Make Us Laugh Monday.
Great stuff from Tim.
Thanks, Havels.
Well, happy anniversary to the crossword puzzle.
110 years. That's how long it's been around.
This takes me back to my dad. It's personal because he really loved working crossword puzzles. He didn't graduate from high school. He joined the Air Force after his dad died at 15. He actually joined the Air Force at like 17. His biggest thing for me was he always wanted me to go to college, but he loved working crossword puzzles.
So, apparently, the crossword puzzle first came December 21st, 1913. That's when Arthur Wynn of the New York World published what he called a word cross in his paper's fun section.
Yeah, but a decade would go by before the crossword would become one of the biggest fads of the Roaring Twenties.
Now, an aunt of publisher Richard Simon liked doing the crosswords in her newspaper and told him she wished someone would publish a book full of them.
And so Simon arranged for his three-month-old publishing firm, you maybe have heard of it, Simon & Schuster, to do so in 1924, 99 years ago.
So the company printed only 3,600 copies, which came with a free pencil. That's cool. In no time, the publisher had to put the book back on press. Through repeated printings, it sold a lot of copies.
Yeah, more than 100,000. And soon a second collection followed, and then a third and a fourth, and Well, tell us then what happened.
In 1924 and 1925, the crossword books were among the top 10 nonfiction bestsellers for the year.
They kind of feel like they've been around forever, but there was a starting point for crossword puzzles.
110 years back in December of 1913. Who knew? Well, you do now.
Fears. We have them, and even celebrities have them, Caleb.
They do indeed, and sometimes those fears can be the same as ones we have. Sometimes it's, I didn't know that was a thing, but we are here to regale you with several.
Yeah. For instance, and again, let me just say, nobody's making fun of anybody here, because we can all have that. We're all kind of a work in progress, right? I mean, 1 John 4 talks about, you know, perfect love casts out all fear. So hopefully we're working through that. In David Beckham's closet, it turns out each shirt is filed according to its color. Each can of soda is lined up in his refrigerator like soldiers at attention. It turns out the soccer star is sometimes described as an ataxophobic, a person who fears disorder.
Interesting. A fear of clowns is no laughing matter, especially to actor Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean fame. Doesn't like clowns.
Yeah, Christina Ricci has botanophobia. She has the fear of houseplants.
Oh. Tyra Banks has a fear of dolphins, which she says stems from recurring dreams in elementary school.
Actress Nicole Kidman suffers from a fear of butterflies, which she finds eerie and weird. I have a fear of pronouncing the phobia for a fear of butterflies.
Lepidopterophobia?
Yes.
Yeah. Matthew McConaughey has a fear of revolving doors. I don't know if it's revolving doors or getting stuck in them because I might share that.
Right. Yeah, that is, you know, in the big city. I think of Chicago right away, right? Yeah. You have those. Not a lot of that in Eau Claire. Also, You've got Justin Bieber has expressed a fear of sharks, as implied by this music.
Yes,
and
we
is
need to hear it again.
Uncomfortable not being able to see the ocean floor below it.
Biebs, I think I share that with you. Orlando Bloom, actor, Legolas in the Lord of the Rings movies, he is terrified of pigs, a fear that became evident on the set of one of his films. Huh. Not sure which one, but apparently that did not go well.
Legendary actress Helen Mirren finds talking on the phone to be nerve-wracking to the point of avoiding it whenever possible.
Adele's fear of seagulls dates back to a childhood incident when a seagull swiped ice cream from her. That makes sense.
Huh. Yeah.
Seagull taking the kid's ice cream.
So there you go. I guess we don't really have much time to ask what you're afraid of, but we'll have another fun question for you starting tonight on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page and spilling over into tomorrow's show.
Well, the name of this song from Point of Grace is what I've heard is in Angel 101. So when you're an angel and you appear, the very first thing you say is, fear not. WWIB, we are family. Good morning.